We are now officially well into round two now on the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast. Justin Cuthbert with you and carrying on after the epic collapse for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We have two games to discuss tonight, but I'm going to be honest with you. Once this one went into overtime, this Colorado-Vegas game, once it went into overtime, I realized that I might not have it tonight. So we're going to go ahead with that result being up in the air. Games on live. We might have the opportunity to break down a winner by the end of the night. But I feel like the big story is definitely the Montreal Canadiens winning 5-3 over the Winnipeg Jets in game one in Winnipeg. They suffered no letdown after that emotional series victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs that just ended two nights ago. But yeah, Montreal just kept the train moving after that crazy victory, and now it looks like they have maybe the upper hand on Winnipeg. But let's dive completely into the game, and I think we have to actually work backwards, because what everyone will be talking about in the lead up to game two will be Mark Scheifele's devastating and probably suspension-worthy hit on Jake Evans literally right at the end of the game while the Montreal forward was trying to wrap the puck around the net and deposit it into the empty net as the Winnipeg Jets were pushing for that equalizing goal. It's a weird one because it's not textbook dirty. This is not a textbook player, but this was clearly a player that was a little angry of the events or about the events that were happening in the game. It's also, you know, I'm not sure it's a head hit. I'm not sure it's a charge, probably a charge. I'm not sure it's late, and I'm not sure it's something that wouldn't be celebrated 15 years ago, but what it did have was a clear intent to injure. Clearly, he was trying to punish Jake Evans for the audacity of scoring an empty net goal against Winnipeg in game one, and he did punish Jake Evans. It was an ugly scene. Jake Evans was stretchered off the ice. I don't know if he was out on his feet, but he landed on his shoulder and head because he looked like he lost control of his body at impact. Montreal was clearly incensed by the play. And again, I have to imagine Mark Scheifele is suspended, which is horrible for the Winnipeg Jets. It's not as bad as the hit itself, but it's horrible for their prospects of winning this series because they're now down and they might be without their best player, their top center at least, for the foreseeable future. I don't want to make light of this at all, but this is sort of evidence that you just can't trust dudes that don't swear or show frustration. Like, it's built up in everyone, including Scheifele, who was agitated all game, in scrums, involved in, you know, back and forth with a bunch of Montreal Canadiens. And instead of breaking a stick, he tried to break Jake Evans. It was just a gutless, unnecessary play, uncharacteristic. You can say that all you want, but what he did was sort of beyond, I don't want to say beyond the code. The code is such a ridiculous thing to talk about. But if you're actually trying to stop Evans from scoring, you're playing the puck, and he had no interest in playing the puck. And that was such a dangerous situation where one player is going one way and stopping, and the other one's full speed trying to get back in time to, I guess, make an effort to try and stop Evans from scoring. But once he knew it wasn't going to happen, he decided.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
He'd rather just take a pound of flesh. There were two heroes on the play, or two heroes that came out of the incident. The first and the real one being Nick Ehlers. He jumped in right away and not only shielded the massive scrum from ensuing from Evans, who was lying prone on the ice with his head, you know, face to the side, cheek on the ice, like scary stuff. If they landed on him, it could have been much worse than we think it's going to be. And then two, Joel Edmondson, he, you know, his post-game comments were brilliant in two ways, because he called for action, saying that he expects the league to take care of it, but that if he gets back in the series, that we're going to make Scheifele's life miserable. And that is, you know, as I mentioned, a call to action, but also standing up for a teammate the right way. Like, we're here for you. We're going to not just get retribution with a fake fight that doesn't mean anything. And I'm referencing Nick Foligno and Corey Perry, but like, what you did was not acceptable, and you're going to pay for it if you come back in this series. And I don't think we're going to see, you know, something ridiculously dirty. I don't think we're going to see pulled hair a la Ryan Reeves and Ryan Graves, but we probably are going to see everyone take a healthy run, or when it's in reason, at Mark Scheifele for what he did. Okay, let's go to the game. And how about Montreal? I mean, Toronto's failure has just fed this team. Not only did they beat the Leafs, it seems they took the Toronto Maple Leafs' powers with them. The Canadians were in rhythm, confident, ambitious, undeterred. It's amazing that 2 weeks ago, this Montreal team looked like one that was trying to lose in the least humiliating or most dignified way as possible by not playing their young guys who would actually maybe give them a bit of an edge offensively, and just trying to sit back and lose 2-1 to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And now what? 2 weeks later, this team is sending Shea Weber in with stretch breakaway passes from their own end. Shea Weber is cherry-picking at the blue line and taking stretch passes in a playoff game in round two. It's like Montreal's fate is completely changed, and they look like the team that they look like for the first 3 weeks of the season. At least they have in this game and the latter half of the series with Toronto. I guess more important than, like, you know, the ballsy stretch pass to Weber is that they look like a four-line team now. Again, I mentioned Caulfield and Kotkaniemi coming in later in the series versus Toronto because they didn't seem like they were confident in what they had four lines deep. But in this game, they looked unconcerned with matchups. There was no hard match at all. They were playing freely. We even saw Kotkaniemi versus Scheifele head-to-head multiple times, and there were no issues. It wasn't like Dominique Ducharme was pulling Kotkaniemi off the ice as quick as possible in order to get Phil Deneau on the ice, who famously shut down Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. But in addition to that, like, not being scared and just playing, you know, they were asserting themselves into the game, all four lines, but also diligently working back into their coverage base to absorb everything that Winnipeg tried to throw at them. And that's what they did so well against the Maple Leafs. So they've got that defensive structure down. They've got that base, which has made them successful in the playoffs so far. And now it looks like they feel a little bit more comfortable to be an attacking team as well. So Montreal is finding something here. For Winnipeg, I'm not sure the break did them very good. I mean, they looked flat, certainly, in the first period. And they also quickly found themselves hurting. They were supposed to be the healthier team. They only played four games. It was light work for them in round one, while Montreal went deep into game seven versus the Maple Leafs. But Paul Stastny just didn't play. Dylan DeMello left early. Adam Lowry and Matthew Perreault exited momentarily, and they did come back. But Montreal looked like the fresher, healthier team, the team that looked like it just played four games and had a bit of a week off, maybe until the end, I guess, with Jake Evans. It was not probably what most people expected this game. I think a lot of people were penciling in Winnipeg for a win because that emotional letdown was surely going to come, but it didn't. Also unexpected were the offensive stars for Montreal. After only 1 point, I believe, the entire defense corps managed against Toronto, Joel Edmondson and Jeff Petrie were difference makers for Montreal in this game offensively, in addition to defensively. Each of them had two assists. Each of them did it two different ways. Joel Edmondson and Jeff Petrie each had, I've talked about stretch passes to Shea Weber. Weber didn't score on the breakaway, but Brendan Gallagher did follow up on the rebound. But both Edmondson and Petrie set up a goal with a stretch pass from their own end and set up another goal each with, like, a beauty play, just a facilitative move in deep in the offensive zone. Not necessarily deep for Petrie, but just a beautiful pass from him from the point to set up Kotkaniemi. And then Joel Edmondson just found himself ranging in the offensive zone, dropped a beautiful feed off to Corey Perry, who did what Corey Perry's been doing in these playoffs, and that's creating goals. It wasn't Perry who scored. who was it that scored that goal? It was Eric Staal who finished that. But a lot of it was Joel Edmondson's doing, which is not something we said much in the first round series, where clearly it was the forwards that had to carry the entire offensive load, which wasn't vast by any means, but they managed to do the job. The highlight, though, was Nick Suzuki's goal. It did come on the Edmondson stretch pass that I referenced earlier. Just a preposterous move in a playoff game. To pull that off, what looked like a shinny move in a playoff game in a big moment. And that was sort of when Montreal was at its peak in this game. They seemed to be playing with just an immense amount of confidence. And I think that Suzuki move was most emblematic of that. Let's talk about the goalie battle quick. I don't think there's anything much more to say other than it's going to be lopsided if Connor Hellebuck doesn't sharpen his tools and weapons quickly. I'm not going to say, you know, Carey Price was spectacular in this game, not to the extent he was in the Maple Leaf series or in the latter half of the Maple Leaf series, but he won round one. And this is a heavyweight tilt in terms of goaltending. Likely the two that lead their respective countries in the Olympics, if the NHL players do indeed find themselves at the Olympics next year, for Canada and the U.S. respectively, with Price and Hellebuck. But it wasn't necessarily a goaltending battle. But Price wins round one, that's for sure. So Colorado and Vegas right now tied at 2 at the start of overtime. We're a couple minutes in. Interesting game. I'll talk about it briefly, but hopefully we get a quick winner here and I can at least talk about the end result. But this one changed on a dime. I mean, this was at the very start of this game, very similar to what we saw in game one, where Colorado put up a touchdown and just dominated Vegas. Again, they were like a hot knife through chilled butter against one of the league's best teams for a fourth straight period. It just doesn't seem like Vegas had anything, could even hold a candle to them. It's astounding, really. It was astounding, and it is still astounding how good the Colorado Avalanche are. But this all turned very, very quickly. I think Vegas had its best two periods of the entire postseason in periods 2 and 3, doing to Colorado what Colorado did to them in game one, but with one caveat: they couldn't score goals. I think they hit 5 or 6 posts. Philip Grubauer was sensational, but they couldn't find the back of the net. And that has been the story of their postseasons of late. But this was totally different. Like, they deserved a bunch of goals. It was an avalanche versus the avalanche of scoring chances and waves of offense. And if Vegas can bottle this, then they're in this series for sure. But despite how good they played, if they don't score the next goal here, it's 2-0 Colorado, and Colorado's worst game still produced a victory. So we shall see what happens here. We're probably not going to get the result, but Colorado is going to a power play, so maybe we will. I'll quickly talk about Nathan MacKinnon, waste a little time. Hopefully we get a goal. Just a ridiculous stat board showed by Sportsnet. Showing Nathan MacKinnon's postseason numbers, recent postseason numbers, at least his postseason numbers inside the last calendar year. 17 goals and 20 assists in 20 games. So almost two points per game in 20 games in the postseason, not including this game too that's on right now. Only 2 games he didn't have a point. So he's just been basically good enough for one goal or one point every game. Oh, close to 2 points every game, but every night he's doing it. He's getting something. And what's interesting is that he hasn't been on the board yet in this game. So perhaps he finds that overtime winner or sets up that overtime winner. But I'd say the key is to shut down Nathan MacKinnon. But even if he scores, like, that's not the key for Colorado, because, you know, they've lost a ton of games, obviously, within that 20 game stretch. But there's just nothing you could do against this guy. Like, he is just a complete monster and clearly the best postseason player on the planet right now. I don't think we're going to get this overtime winner. It's unfortunate, because I definitely wanted to dig into this series a little bit more, but, you know, we got to be doing some writing in the morning, so I can't be up too late. We got to be able to do the other half of the job. So we'll leave it there. This Winnipeg-Montreal series, I don't know if it's setting up to be spectacular, but we've certainly got drama early, so things are going to unfold. And if Vegas can get this victory tonight, what looked like it was going to be a short series, at least through 4 periods, could end up being a long one in the end. We'll be back tomorrow night to talk about the games that, you know, that are, as things get sort of settled here, in round two with the Canadian teams finally playing. And we'll have more takes, more reactions to what's going on in the playoffs. It remains fun, even though this nightly thing is pretty tough. Okay, we'll leave it there. See you guys tomorrow night.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.